Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network.
Thanks to the work of an English doctor, vaccine science has been around for 225 years. It is the last 12 months that represent a revolution in vaccine development. Today, a conversation with OHSU vaccine expert Dr. Mark Slifka about the potential tipping point in the fight, not just against the coronavirus, but against all disease. It is Tuesday, February 23rd. I'm Ian Costello, and this is Beyond the Headlines on the COIN Podcast Network.
Hello?
Hello again, Dr. Slifka. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Not bad.
Dr. Slifka is a professor at Oregon Health and Sciences University in Portland. He specializes in studying how infections and vaccines affect the body. We talked a few times last year about the race to design vaccines for COVID-19 and the rate at which they were developed. This time, I wanted to talk to him about the implications of mRNA vaccine technology and if this represents a seminal moment in medicine.
Dr. Slifka, thank you for spending some time with me today. I want to start with a little bit of a science lesson, if we can. I don't believe most people understand the differences between what we've traditionally known as vaccines and these more recently developed mRNA vaccines. Can you give me the kind of Cliff's Notes version of this modern evolution in vaccine science?
Sure. Some of our initial vaccines were dead proteins. The very first ones were toxins or toxoids like tetanus and diphtheria, which were proteins where you'd be vaccinated with that protein, make an immune response to that protein because your body would see that as a foreign invader. Over time, we also developed live vaccines. That's like the smallpox vaccine, which is the very first live vaccine. What happens there is you get infected with the virus. The virus infects the cells, turns them into virus factories, and then the immune response attacks it because it's a foreign invader. Now, the mRNA vaccines skip a lot of that of those steps, especially with the live virus, because they don't necessarily infect the cell, but your body soaks up the mRNA, and the mRNA is then translated into protein, into virus proteins, and your immune system considers those foreign invaders and then attacks them.
Just how revolutionary is this? How big of an advancement are we talking about here?
It's funny how you look at it. Right now, no one had heard of mRNA vaccines until just this last year and a half. But they were designed, the original idea is over 30 years old. But one of the challenges is trying to make the technology work in a human population because it's tricky. mRNA, this messenger RNA, was known to be very fragile. It breaks down very easily. And it can also trigger inflammation from the host. And so there's a lot of work involved with optimizing it to where it could be useful as a vaccine.
I want to get to the further reaching ripple effects of that evolution of the mRNA vaccine evolution here in a moment. First, I'd like to drill down on how it applies particularly to the COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Slifka, you and I talked late last year about the speed at which these vaccines were developed, faster than any in history. And now one of the things we're hearing a lot about over the last few weeks is the idea of variants of this coronavirus from the UK and Brazil and South Africa. If our current vaccines don't work on those variants, can we expect mRNA technology to allow those vaccines to be adjusted very quickly?
You know, it's this cat and mouse game between the viruses and our immune system. So as we're getting better at responding to coronavirus, it is adapting to try and get around that immune response by making these mutations. And at this point, it's mutated and looks differently than the original vaccine. So that's the bad news. But on the good news, our vaccines look like they're able to work against them. Some vaccines better than others. The only one that's been tested in those populations well is this Novavax vaccine, which is actually a more traditional protein-based vaccine. But it gave an indication that we could protect against these variants, especially the UK variant, and at least 60% protection against South African variant, which is a big concern for a lot of people. Now, the advantage of the mRNA vaccines is that most likely they'll follow suit in terms of being able to have good protection against the UK and at least partial immunity against the South African strain. We'll need to see more information to really know if that holds true. But the nice thing about the mRNA vaccines is you can plug in a new sequence and run it through the mill. And so it's something that can be easily adapted to new variants, and they can just update the vaccine as needed.
How about vaccines for other diseases? Is what we saw with the development of the COVID-19 vaccines and using the mRNA technology an anomaly, or is it potentially a new normal?
It'll take time to let the dust settle and see where this goes. Right now, it's incredibly encouraging. When the FDA said, we will look at licensing a vaccine that gives you at least 50% protection, they and no one else had any idea that the mRNA vaccines would hit 95% protection. So that showed that it can work well for this particular virus. And it's got the opportunity to work well for many other viruses too. And so it just kind of depends on whether or not there's good targets that they can aim for. So, I mean, it's a great starting point for any vaccine. We're lucky with the coronavirus because the spike protein is very amenable to making a vaccine against it. Other viruses that have small protein molecules on their surface, they can do the same thing.
Dr. Slifka, I tend to believe there are watershed moments in history. Gutenberg printing his Bible, Lister discovering antiseptics, JFK saying we're going to go to the moon. Those moments that kind of forever changed the course of evolution for mankind, they are also nearly impossible to recognize in real time. Even so, as of right now, do you see the development of mRNA vaccine science being one of those moments?
You know, it could be. You know, we're seeing it work fantastically well for this particular virus. It can work for other viruses, and it might even be able to work for other treatments, other ailments. And then the reason why is because that mRNA can be used to make other proteins, maybe self-proteins, maybe things that we need in order to help us deal with a particular disease that's not COVID-19. And so I think people are realizing now the advantages of it and learning how to, you know, really harness these new ideas and use it in other interesting ways.
Where would you rank it in terms of medical discoveries?
Well, that's a hard one to say. I mean, Stanley Plotkin, who is one of the most renowned vaccinologists of all time, has pointed out that vaccines have saved more lives than any other medical intervention. You know, this is now one of those pillars of vaccination. So I think it stands up there quite well.
We talked about this a little bit before. I want to go at it from just another angle. Obviously, the race to get vaccines developed for COVID-19 was literally a matter of life and death. What makes this a step in the right direction in the fight against all diseases? Do you feel like this technology is a big step in the fight against every disease?
That's a big target, every disease. But it's gonna open up opportunities. We're going to look at things differently now. And it's shown, again, tremendous efficacy against this respiratory disease, which is, you know, respiratory diseases aren't a piece of cake. They're difficult to deal with. And it's shown a great, great potential. Right now, again, we're getting 95% protection. There's a couple more things we need to know about, like how durable is that immune response? Is it super durable, or is immunity going to decline quickly, kind of like what happens with our flu vaccine? So there's still a lot more we need to learn about this particular type of vaccine. The other part about it on the other side is that, this vaccine, you can feel that immune system kick in, especially after the second dose. And so not only is these vaccines are great, but they have room for further improvements. For example, if they could develop these mRNA vaccines where you get that shot and you don't even know you've gotten the shot, that's when we're going to have something that can be absolutely amazing.
What else needs to happen for this to be one of those watershed moments? What do we need to learn in the next 12 or 18 or 24 months that says, okay, that was a moment that everything changed?
For one, it's the durability of the vaccine. So the smallpox vaccine, first vaccine ever developed by Edward Jenner, is responsible for the only time we've eradicated a species off the face of the earth on purpose. Smallpox was removed from the human population only through vaccination. That is a true watershed moment. But one of the reasons why the smallpox vaccine was so successful is because it gave durable, lifelong immunity. So what we know right now is we have fantastic news, 95% protection with these mRNA vaccines. Now, if they can give lifelong immunity, or if they don't, if they can be engineered to induce lifelong immunity, then they'll be able to do things that the smallpox vaccine was able to do and really change the course of history.
A lot of the headlines in the final months of development and the testing and the final months leading up to the release of this vaccine, a lot of the news headlines were dominated, obviously, by the COVID-19 death toll and the election. What are some of the cool moments that stand out in your head that made you say, we're really on to something here?
Part of it was the coordination at so many different levels. You know, we had the federal government pumping in the money, and that's desperately needed in order to get the ball rolling. We had the manufacturers able to ramp up production and work out all the complicated aspects of making something in a clinical grade capacity. And then we had the coordination with our regulatory agencies, especially with the FDA. And all these groups worked together and coordinated this effort to be able to rapidly move through phase one, phase two, phase three trials in less than a year. And then come up with something as exciting as 95% protection. That was amazing to watch and to see happen in real time, because really that was 10 years worth of work rammed into 1 year of time. Hopefully that actually turns into a template that we can use for other diseases going forward.
And building off that, that coordinated effort was historic, and the mRNA technology to get to the vaccines is historic. What has a longer lasting effect? Are we going to end up looking back and realizing we learned more from the coordinated effort or from the mRNA science, or is it a very specific combination of the two?
There's going to be, you know, historical lessons from each of these. There's multiple lessons here. One of the things that we may have talked about before is this is the first time we've had a real pandemic that was a global challenge that really change how we look at infectious disease. The things that every country's had to do in order to deal with COVID has finally woken people up, myself included, in terms of how difficult it is to deal with a true pandemic of this scale. And now we have a history in terms of what did we do right? What did we do wrong? What did we do wrong multiple times? And that becomes clear, you know, when you get that hindsight is 2020. So we've learned a lot about how to deal with pandemics from having this major pandemic. And we still have a lot more to learn as we now hopefully come around the bend and knock this thing down through the use of the vaccines and the social distancing. So eventually the vaccines are all that we need. And we can kind of go back to not having other mitigation strategies having to be used so often. Again, we're going to learn on several different levels on how to deal with this. But the vaccine rollout and the development of these mRNA vaccines was a huge part of that.
Not that you weren't energized to do your work beforehand. Is this kind of science and this kind of discovery what you got into this for? Is this inspiring?
That's an interesting question. A lot of it, especially through the darker times, has been morbidly fascinating. Learning how far this virus was able to get, how difficult it's been to control, has been tough. And there have been times when I've seen the stories and talked to people who dealt with COVID and the deaths personally. But then on the bright side is actually moving on to that next chapter. The vaccines are starting to work. Cases are starting to come down. We're understanding the virus better than we ever did. It's amazing what we know now compared to last spring. And so now I am getting energized that we are able to get through this, that we will be able to learn things from this disease that we can now apply to other diseases. And hopefully be able to stand on the shoulders of this work and really expand where we can improve on other infectious diseases.
Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thanks for having me.
That will do it for us today. Thank you for listening to the COIN Podcast Network. We will talk to you soon.
The COIN Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.